Moving through the Bible, we've come this week to Romans chapter 7, or 10. 7, where am I? Chapter 10. And this morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 15, where Paul declares, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things." I like that. Glad tidings of good things. Now, Paul has just declared that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he declares, "But how shall they call on him if they do not believe? And how can they believe on him whom they don't know? And how can they know unless someone preach to them? And how can they preach unless they be sent?" And so you have the basis for church missions. Sending out people to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that people might come to know Jesus Christ and thus believe in him. That's the whole mission thrust of the church. As Paul declares, quoting from Isaiah, "For how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good things, that publishes salvation, that saith to Zion, thy God reigns." The gospel of peace, or the good news of peace. This is what the gospel is all about. We live in a world of conflict. If you went over this morning into the nursery department and you saw the two-year-olds, you would see that there is conflict going on in that department. As a child picks up a toy and someone else is attracted by that same toy and tries to take it out of his hands. And as he begins to pull it away and say, "Mine," and the other says, "Mine," and they are struggling, there's conflict. Even at an early age, we see the development of conflict. You see, we have a sinful nature. It begins to manifest itself very early. The sin of selfishness. Now, you don't have to teach your children to be selfish. You don't have to sit down and say, "All right, I want you to learn now this word, mine." And whenever anybody tries to take it away, say, "Mine." Now, try it. Mine. No, you don't have to train them. Where do they get it? It just seems to come naturally, doesn't it? Our sinful nature of selfishness, which is the basis for conflict. It is in James, he said, that from whence come the fightings and wars among you? Come they not from your own desires, the desires that you have for things? You watch the children on the playground. You'll see the conflicts emerging. You're on that swing. I want that swing. I want that ball you're playing with. And so through the junior ages, these conflicts continue. They get up into their teen years. Now, as adults, we have acceptable ways to deal with our conflicts. We call it sports. And there we can get out and we can get out our aggressions and all in this kind of a conflict. We have conflicts within the family. The parent-child conflict, especially when they become teenagers. The sibling rivalries. The conflicts between husband and wife. But not only are there outward conflicts, there are inward conflicts. There's a conflict between my ideal self and my real self. That which I desire to be and want to be and that which I really am. And this conflict exists between my ideal and my real self. The conflicts that we have in trying to resolve a difficult decision. What is best? And we feel that mental conflict as we deal with these decisions that have to be made. Sometimes the conflict is so great that when we awake in the middle of the night, we find our mind is going over the conflict and it's difficult to go back to sleep because we're trying to resolve the conflict as we're lying there on the pillow. What can I do? What would be the best thing to do? And we are troubled by the inner conflicts. In chapter 7, Paul spoke about these inner conflicts. That which I do not allow, I find myself doing. That which I want to do, I'm not doing. I find that I'm doing things that I hate. And so he spoke of that inner conflict that he had. But then there's another conflict. And that's the conflict that we have with God. Where we are determined that we're going to do it our way. And we find ourselves rebelling against the law of the Spirit as we are seeking to follow the law of the flesh, being governed and ruled by our flesh. But the prophet Isaiah said, "Woe unto him who strives with his maker." And yet, how many people find themselves in conflict with their maker? In the world in which we live, there are forces of good and evil, and generally the conflict is between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. But these conflicts are not just limited in a personal way. We see conflicts throughout the whole world. We see racial conflicts. And not always because of the differences in color. We see religious conflicts. We see political conflicts. Why do we have to have all of these conflicts? Why can't man learn that fighting really doesn't gain anything? It doesn't really resolve the issues. Though one may be a victor over the other, it doesn't end the conflict. There's still within the heart that rebellion against the new authority that I find myself under. When will man learn? that wars do not resolve the differences or the issues that we are facing. God said, there is no peace for the wicked. Again, he said, the wicked are like a troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mud and dirt. James tells us the reason for conflicts. From whence comes the wars and the fightings among you, he said. Don't they come from the desires of your body? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, but you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, and yet you have not. Conflicts. Now he tells us also in that same context, where there is envying and strife, there is conflict and every evil work. But in contrast, the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easily to be entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruit, it's without partiality. And the fruit of this righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see, this is the gospel of peace that Paul is referring to in our text. Though the world is filled with conflicts, God has given to us his peace. For those who will receive it. The gospel of peace is really the message of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that when the prophet was foretelling his coming, he said, his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. The Prince of Peace. And so we preach Jesus, the good news of peace. When he was born, the angels came to the shepherds there on the hillside. And the angels said, "Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign: you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host who were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." That's the message. That's the gospel. The good news that we have for man who is filled with conflict and turmoil, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came to bring us peace. That babe that is lying there in the manger was sent by God in order that he might make peace between God and man, because that's where the turmoil begins. The basic conflict is the conflict that you have with God. As God is saying that you should be loving, that you should be caring, that you should be giving, that you should be willing to share with those that are in need, that you shouldn't look upon things as mine, but be willing to reach out and help others. And I find myself in conflict with that. I find that that's mine. I want to keep that. I don't want you to touch it. It's mine. And I hang on to this attitude of selfishness that God says is wrong. And as I find myself in conflict then with God, who is telling me to be godlike, I must be giving. To be his servant, I must give. And my own nature, which says, you keep it, it's yours. You earned it, you worked for it. Let them work for it if they want it, you know. And I'm in conflict with God. And that's where the basic conflict begins. And that's why I have conflict with myself. Because, well, I know I should help. I know that I should reach out. But I don't want to. I know I ought to give in. It really doesn't make that much difference. I ought to just smile and say, sure, honey, if you want to go out to dinner, let's go out. Instead of saying, I want to eat at home. What difference? You see, within, I can't give in. Got to show who's boss. Conflict. From insisting on my own way, my own will, my own desires. But it's conflict within because I know I shouldn't be that way. I know I should give. I know it doesn't matter. So what, you know? But I've got to hold on. So I'm in conflict. And so the message of the gospel of peace is, first of all, peace with God. You've been fighting against God. You've been rebelling against the law of God and his authority over your life. But now, it's possible for you to have peace with God. And how? By surrendering. That's simple, isn't it? Why didn't we think of that? The way to end the conflict is just surrender. To surrender our lives to God and to the will of God for our lives. In chapter 5, verse 1 of Romans, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first result of justification by faith is peace with God. No longer fighting against God. No longer at war with God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. All of you that are in this conflict and turmoil. He said, I'll give you rest or I'll give you peace. And you know, the very first consciousness that a person has when he is born again, when he has received Jesus Christ, is a sense of deep peace. You go home, and there's just a feeling of warmth and peace and love. You lie down there on the pillow, and your mind isn't in turmoil at all. You just are looking up and saying, hey, God, I'm not fighting against you anymore. I'm on your side now. I love you, you know. The war's over. I've surrendered. And there's just such a glorious peace, you even hate to go to sleep. It's just so peaceful. The war's over. I'm not rebelling against God any longer. Now, God wants you to have that kind of peace. In fact, the Lord said to Moses, now you tell Aaron, after he's been into the temple and offered before the Lord the sacrifices and all, then he's to return out to the people, the congregation. And this is the blessing he is to put on them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Once the people have come and met with God, the Lord says, go and tell them peace. The psalmist said, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And again, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. To the Colossians, Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, having peace with God, I now can have peace with myself. I discovered that that inner turmoil was my rebelling against God. And thus it caused this inner conflict, this inner turmoil. I discovered, as God said, there is no peace for the wicked. And as long as I was in that state of rebellion, there was this turmoil going on within. But now, having established peace with God, I find this peace with myself. In a couple of chapters, Paul's going to tell us, live peaceably with all men as much as is possible. And then in the 14th chapter, he said, let's follow after the things that make for peace. Paul told the Ephesians that Jesus is our peace, who has broken down every wall that once divided men into opposing factions. You see, there used to be great ethnic conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. But Jesus broke down the wall, Paul said. The wall that used to separate, the walls that we built up to define our territory and to keep others out, Jesus has broken down those walls. Paul wrote to the Colossians, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, the way he made peace is by making us all one. There isn't any national or ethnic differences in Christ. We're all one. There are no cultural differences in Christ. We are all one. I remember being in a village in New Guinea where the chieftain had accepted Jesus Christ. And he had the villagers prepare a great feast for Kay and I as the special guest of the chief of the village. Here is a primitive chieftain, was once cannibalistic. And as I was there, through the interpreter, he came up and he gave me a bundle of spears. And they were wrapped in this bundle. And as he gave them to me, he, through the interpreter, said, I used to use these spears to kill men. But he said, now that I have this, and he held up a translation of the New Testament that had been developed by the Wycliffe missionary there. He said, I don't need these anymore. I want to give them to you. And as we looked at each other, though we were a world apart, culturally speaking, he was there with a loincloth. His teeth were all rotted from the beetle juice that they suck on. His toothless smile, my Pepsodent smile. I mean, though we were years apart, culturally speaking, he's still in a primitive culture, I am from a modern culture. Yet, as we looked at each other, as he handed me those spears, as we embraced and hugged one another, my heart was bonded to that fellow. His heart was bonded to mine. The rest of the time I was in the village, he was right by my side, always just turning around and smiling, just bonded together. What can make that kind of a bond? The love of Jesus Christ. For you see, as we stand together, brothers in Christ, the Lord looks upon us alike. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. It's Christ. He's made of one, the two, resolving thus the conflicts that once existed because of the differences. Because it seems we don't like differences. We want everybody to do what we want to see done. And if they want to be different, then we're going to have conflict because mine and my way. But Christ has resolved that. He's broken it down. Resolved it by making us one. The gospel of peace, the good news of peace. That's the gospel that we preach. You who are going through turmoil today, you whose minds are being tossed and tormented because of the situation that you're facing, the problems and the issues that you have, you can have peace today. The peace of Christ, which passes human understanding. That's the good news that the Lord has commissioned us to preach. That's why he sent us here, that we might declare to men that it is possible to have peace, peace with God, which will bring you peace with yourself, which will bring you peace with those around you. It's interesting to note that Paul did not quote the entire passage of Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isaiah went on to say, that says unto Zion, thy God reigns. There's the secret. When God reigns in your heart, the conflict is over and peace is the result. Father, we thank you for that peace that we have through Jesus Christ. He came in order that we might have peace with you, to put away our sins, our rebellion, and that through him, he might bring us, Lord, unto the Father. accepted in Christ, who is our peace, who has broken down every wall that once defined what was ours, by which we tried to protect our territory. Lord, today, to those with troubled hearts, may they surrender to you. And may they find that peace that all of us, Lord, yearn after and desire and seek so desperately. Lord, we're tired of the conflict. We're tired of the turmoil. We're tired of the restlessness, the restless nights. Lord, we want your peace to rule in our hearts and in our lives through Jesus Christ. So we ask you, reign in us, O Lord. Amen. Shall we stand? You that are old enough to remember it with me, join me as we sing, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. And if you'd like to know that peace today, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and just kneel before the Lord and invite him to be the Lord of your life. End that war between you and God, and you'll find that it will bring the end of the other wars, the conflicts, inner, outer, personal. It all starts with peace with God. As we noted and sang earlier at the beginning, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. For thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Jehovah, because he trusts in him.